wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Well, there goes Dave Hansen, and in comes one of our regular columnists, and we've missed him. He was out reporting from the field last weekend, but we're happy to have him back in studio. Gordon Goldsborough is here. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadja. Glad to be here.
Thank you for being here. We're going to need to jog our memories a little bit for the clue.
Yeah, I said we were going to talk about a place in Manitoba called Trump, and whether or not it had any connection to the U.S. president. Because in fact, back in 2017, there was an article in a local newspaper on this subject based on interviews with people in the area, not actual historical research. And so as a result of what I've been able to learn using sort of research techniques, I'm pretty sure I have the answer.
So is there a connection?
Not so fast. There's a story we have to tell first.
Okay, let's hear it.
Well, longtime listeners know that I have talked in this series before about the transformation that occurred in the early 20th century. You know, as cars began to replace trains as a means of transportation around the province, tractors began to replace horses as a way of farming the land. And all of this, therefore, required petroleum products. You know, they required gasoline and kerosene and grease and all these things that are made from refined crude oil. Well, in the early days, they didn't get the crude oil from here in Manitoba. Of course, some people know that we discovered petroleum here in Manitoba in 1951. In Alberta, it was discovered a little earlier than that. But before that, in the early 20th century, when this revolution was happening in terms of automobiles and tractors, we actually got most of our crude oil from the United States, specifically from Oklahoma and Texas.
So where does Trump come into the story?
Well, in order for crude oil to be useful, it has to be refined. And as early as 1915, there was a group known as the Rosenort Farmers Association. They occupied an area just a little north of Morris, Manitoba. They purchased refined petroleum, and then they would resell it to the local farmers who needed it for their tractors and other things. And they installed storage tanks at a railway siding that was located about 3 miles north of Morris. Now, this was initially just an operation where they just resold the petroleum. They didn't do any actual refining. But in the early 1930s, they formed a company called the Trump Oil Company. And in fact, they hired an engineer, and the engineer designed a refinery. And so in the spring of 1934, the Trump Oil Company began to refine their own crude oil that was imported from the United States.
How did the Trump Oil Company get its name?
Some people believe that the Trump family invested in this oil refinery, and so therefore they named the refinery after them. Now, I have to say, I'm an adherent of something called Occam's razor. Now, it has nothing to do with shaving. Basically, what it means is if you want to explain some sort of phenomenon and you've got a whole bunch of different explanations, the one that is the simplest, the one that requires the fewest sort of logical convolutions, that's the one that's most likely to be correct. And so the idea that the Trump family invested in this refinery, this seems a little overly convoluted. In fact, there's three things that I think really don't fit. First of all, the Trumps were located far away. They're based in New York City, and predominantly they invest in real estate. That's predominantly where they make their money. So that seems a little odd that they would suddenly decide to invest in a refinery in Manitoba far away. Now, it turns out that Donald Trump's grandfather actually was in the Klondike Gold Rush in Yukon, but that's as close as he ever got to Manitoba. So it just seems improbable. A second reason is that there was a newspaper story about the refinery that was published the year after it began operating. It said that the refinery was owned by, and this is a direct quote, farmers in the district, not foreign investors. And then the third thing that I find odd is that the oil refinery was located immediately beside a siding of the Canadian Pacific Railway, and that siding was named Trump. In other words, the refinery took its name from the siding, not the other way around. The siding wasn't named for the oil company.
Why do you think that?
Well, the research on place names, if you ever want to know why is a place called the name that it is, that's something called toponymy. And here in Manitoba, we actually have a provincial toponymist, a person who looks after a sort of a database that explains why the various places are named as they are. And I spoke with a provincial toponymist about this whole question, and he said that the first time that the word Trump appeared on a map attached to that siding was in 1914, Well, that's 20 years before the refinery existed. So that's why I say I'm sure that the refinery took its name from the siding rather than from the other way around.
Is there a possibility that the railway siding was named for the Trump family?
Well, certainly there's a basis to think that. There is, for example, a fairly long-standing practice that the railway did name stations after their investors. So, for example, the town of Boisevain is named after one of the early investors in the Canadian Pacific Railway. But as I said before, the Trumps were predominantly investing in real estate, not railways. And again, Occam's razor tells us that if there's a less convoluted answer, it's the more likely one to be correct. So in this case, the railway does name stations after some of its employees, and especially some of its more senior employees. Well, one of the more senior employees here in Winnipeg was the chief dispatcher. You know, that person would actually arrange the trains, would, you know, send them out on their way. And so that was somebody who was quite important in the railway. And it turns out at least two sidings in Manitoba were named after chief dispatchers here in Winnipeg, a siding called Skelding, and I'm sure nobody's even knows where that is, but it's out west of Portage la Prairie. That was named for a fellow named Eric Skelding. There was another a little village called Helston, and it was named for a guy named Morris Helston. So there was a practice of naming sidings after chief dispatchers. Well, it turns out from 1908 to 1914, right in the time that the first appearance on a map of the name Trump appeared, the chief dispatcher in Winnipeg was a guy named Ernest George Trump. He was born in Montreal in 1878. He came to Winnipeg with his family at the age of 15, and he worked his way up in this Canadian Pacific Railway. And so it seems entirely likely to me that the basis for the Trump siding, which in turn was the basis for the name Trump Oil, was from this railway worker, Ernest George Trump.
So then is there any indication that Ernest Trump could be a relative of the American Trumps?
It's certainly possible. Donald Trump's father, Fred, was born in the USA in 1905, but his grandfather, Friedrich, was born in Germany in 1869. So I looked into the genealogy of this fellow, Ernest George Trump, and I find that he's listed in the Canadian census of 1901. His father was actually born in England, and his ethnicity was listed as English. So it doesn't seem to fit. The Trump family in New York, who became, of course, the president of the United States, his ancestry is German, not English. So if there's a connection, it's a very distant one.
So what happened to the Trump Oil Refinery?
Well, within a year of operating, it suffered a major catastrophe. An explosion occurred of some volatile chemicals, and in the aftermath, a couple of the men that were involved were wounded seriously and ultimately died. It was rebuilt and it continued to operate, but because of a design choice they had made when they built the refinery, ultimately it couldn't exist far into the Second World War, because during the Second World War, the Canadian government decreed that all crude oil would have to be purchased from Canadian sources so as to keep the dollars here in Canada. Well, it turns out a design choice they had made when they designed the refinery at Trump was that they would only use sweet crude, as opposed to sour crude. And most of the Canadian crudes were sour, so they had to purchase their crude from the United States. Well, when they're told they can't purchase their crude outside of the country, it basically doomed the plant. They'd have to completely redesign the plant. So they sold it, and eventually it was closed. And that's pretty much the end of the Trump Oil Company as it stood. So the early 1940s.
What's left of it today?
Well, I was curious about that. So I actually contacted a friend of mine at Morris, who's a keen history buff, Ralph Graining. He put me in touch with a municipal councillor, Mervyn Duick. And Mr. Duick told me that, in fact, the site of the refinery was occupied later by an auto wrecking business, and they ultimately moved some of the buildings into Morris. And I'm told that at least one of those buildings from the old Trump Oil Refinery is still standing in Morris itself. But interestingly, he also told me that at the original site, and I was at the original site, and wow, it's just basically an open, flat farm field now. There is no sign visible. But he did say that because they had underground storage tanks for some of the petroleum products, they're still underground. So I don't know, I guess you could go out maybe with a very sensitive metal detector and maybe you could find them. So not a lot of evidence that it's there at that site. But if you are interested in knowing a little bit more about Trump Oil, if you go to the museum in Headingley called Jim's Vintage Garages, wonderful museum, and they've got an whole exhibit on Trump Oil.
I was not expecting such a comprehensive background into Donald Trump's family tree, but aside from that, fascinating, Gordon. Thank you.
You're welcome, Nadja.
And what's the clue for next week?
Well, we're going to continue a discussion we had a few weeks ago where I updated listeners on a few of the sites that I had visited in the past episodes of this series, including ones that have had a major change within the last couple of weeks.
Oh, yes, I think I know which one you're alluding to. It will be great to get some updates next week. Thanks, Gordon.
You're welcome, Nadja.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.